Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy V and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Hour number two, here for another hour on a Thursday. It's Jimmy B and TC. Glad to have you with us here today. It's been a wild day. Certainly in the world of the NBA, we got John Cannon stopping by here in just a moment. We will talk with him. But Jim, it's that time. Do you have your taxes done yet for 2017?
Haven't even started them yet. No, not even close.
You know, us that are in the different realm, you know, don't have the W-2s. I got a little more that I have to get figured out before I start handing the tax man a check.
Right.
Going back the other way. But tell you where I go every single year. Mike Hammond over at Advantage Financial and Tax Services. I've been with him for 6 years now. He does a great job. So give Mike a call. He's a huge sports fan like you and I are. He can help you out in a big-time way. I can't say he's going to save you a bunch of money. That's illegal. I can't say things like that on the radio, Jimmy B. All I'll tell you is he'll do a great job for you. How about that?
I'm good with that. Trust me. And you and I, we need all the help we can get.
That is true. Well, speaking of help, this next guy, he helps us out in a myriad of different ways, mostly as it pertains to talking about the NBA. He is John Cannon as he joins us here this afternoon. John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Another day at the plant, as far as the NBA is concerned. Wow, what an afternoon.
This is the same John Cannon who told us that this season the Golden State Warriors were going to win 752 games and they would just cruise by everybody. Uh-oh, there's a little bit of a problem there. Little bit of a problem, John. What happened against Oklahoma City just two nights ago?
Oh, they're in a deep funk right now. I mean, that's their third loss out of four, which they have not, you know, had a regular season stretch like that in years. So, what I got wrong on that, and I got it way, way, way wrong, was the emotional toll that the last 3 years have taken. And I think what happened was because the first year was great. The second year, they had won it, and nobody still thought they were any good. So they had that going for them, and they won the first 24 games that year, and they got the best record, and then they lost in the finals, didn't really think they deserved to. So they had that anger going forward, plus they brought in Durant, and they had to get that whole thing together. And this year, there was really none of those type of things. You know, they won the championship last year. They weren't adding any new pieces. Idiots like me thought they'd just pick up where they left off. And I think the short offseason really hurt them. They've had three long seasons in a row, and then to have the season start 2 weeks earlier than usual, and they went to China for preseason. So they really were in a funk at the beginning, and everybody thought, well, they'll just, you know, come out of it. And they have at moments, but they've not looked good this year, really. I wouldn't say they've put a game together yet. They've won a bunch of games, but they haven't put a game together like they can do. There's always a quarter where they turn the ball over eight times or something. And so I think that they have emotional issues right now with trying to get the motivation together, and they're learning that it's not a switch that you can flip, that you really have to build habits and play a certain way. And I think it makes the NBA season and the NBA playoffs a lot more interesting that they are struggling, you know, so mightily.
It does. I completely agree with that one, John. We've joked before that I always tell you guys to wake me up in June when we get to the finals and we get Cavs and Warriors, but this does appear to be more.
That's not really worth waking up for, a lot of cases.
Yes, yes. But Curry, you figure they're going to ride the minutes the right way, he's going to be fine. Same with Durant. But I want to ask you about Draymond Green. The times that I've watched the Warriors this year, something seems off with him. Was it Pat Riley that talked about, you know, everybody wanting more after championships? But something appears off with Draymond Green. Can you put your finger on exactly what it may be?
Well, he's the emotional leader of the team. And they are emotionally worn out. Mm-hmm. And I think that really starts with him. And again, he was underappreciated. He was underdrafted. He was under evaluated. Even once he got to the Warriors until Kerr showed up, And so he had this huge chip on his shoulder, and he basically has worn it down. And I think last year he finally got Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he really had reached his pinnacle, and I think that he's not finding that energy. And the officiating thing, he was really not even – I think they're happy to see him getting technical fouls again. I think that's that's kind of a good sign, which, you know, can rear its ugly head later. But I think that's the issue with him. And he has not shot well. I mean, that's one of the things that this team has – you know, he has not shot well. Iguodala's invisible. Their bench has really hurt him this year. McCaw, they've gotten nothing from. He was a very surprising rookie last year. And so they don't have, if Curry and Durant are not on the floor, and Thompson is very good percentage wise, but doesn't seem to be the weapon that he's been in the past. They don't have scorers, and so it's really it's a challenge. And I would not be surprised to see them pick someone up. You know, in the NBA, you've got the trade deadline. That's a big thing, and that happened today. But now you're going to have guys get bought out of contracts, and they're going to be free agents. And I would not be shocked to see them try to pick up a scoring wing that can be a backup, kind of what Matt Barnes did for them last year, a guy that can come off the bench and isn't afraid to shoot threes, because Nick Young has been terrible. McCaw's been a big disappointment. Iguodala, they had to pay him. They had to do that contract. But, man, that's going to really hurt them going forward.
Yeah.
Because he looks pretty done. So it's going to be an interesting see how they work themselves out of that.
Yeah, you're telling me my boy Swaggy P isn't living up to expectations? Oh, come on now. All right.
Well,
look,
he's living up to mine.
He's not very good. It's everybody's expectation.
Yeah, that's where I thought he'd be, but he did show signs early of buying into the process and playing, you know, trying to play good defense. I just don't think he's got it in him. I think he's a better guy than they all expected that he would be, and he's tried hard, but he's just not a good enough player.
Let me just follow up then with what the Cavaliers did. John, you and I have been around the association a long time. You have preseason games in the NBA, and then you have a long season. Sometimes it takes 3-4 months before teams really kind of figure out the personnel and the substitution patterns and how everybody gets along with chemistry on the court. In your lifetime covering the NBA, and I was trying to think about it earlier today, and all the teams that I have covered, I have never seen a team blow it up midway through, actually a little more than midway through, the way the Cleveland Cavaliers did today. Can you recall any other team in your memory bank that had done something similar?
Not a team that was a contender.
Yeah,
I mean, you've seen teams do that, but not a team that was trying to do it to become a contender, and I think they did it. I mean, I think they pulled it off. Now, they would have had a different season, Jimmy, had Isaiah Thomas been there from the beginning. They would have realized much sooner how awful he was in their system.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was out for so long, and they were thinking, hey, when he gets in, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And it was awful.
Yeah.
And they really needed to get rid of him. I'll tell you who's got his finger on the pulse of that team, and that's Brian Windhorst. He came out a few days ago, and he basically said the Cavaliers need to trade at least three players and maybe more, or else LeBron's going to walk. If they don't do something big to try to save this season, LeBron's going to walk. And what'd they do? They went out and they traded a bunch of guys, and they got young, athletic wing players in. They got George Hill, who's a point guard who can play. And they got much better. And here's the irony, guys. The Lakers, in basically sending players to Cleveland and then getting back what Cleveland didn't want, but they're getting expiring contracts. So they have cleared the way for them to make an offer not just for LeBron, but for another player. They're going to have two slots next year for max contract guys. So it's ironic that Cleveland got what they needed right now in this deal, and they got rid of some, you know, deadweight contracts, but they have enabled the Lakers to make a really good offer for LeBron next year, which they didn't need that. You know, I mean, if they needed the Lakers to be still tied into bad contracts so they couldn't make a deal for LeBron, because everyone thinks that's the one place LeBron would go, really, for sure, without, you know, besides staying in Cleveland, L.A. has always had his attention. So now L.A. is viable. So this is really a high-wire act for Cleveland. They've got to try to win the thing this year, impress LeBron enough with what the future can hold. They did hold on to Brooklyn's number one pick, which was also big for them.
Yes.
And, yeah. And man, if they don't, the whole thing could fall apart and LeBron could wind up leaving and going to L.A.
Do you like what they did, though? The team was just such a mess, and especially on the defensive
end. Oh, yeah.
You like what they did, though?
They had lost 13 out of 20.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like what they did. I like there's a lot of addition by subtraction there.
Yeah.
It really is. They had gotten old and slow, and then what happened was LeBron, in these last several games, was not playing with the kind of effort that he was carrying that team. He was making them win games they had no business winning. And he did it again to your Timberwolves the other night.
Yes, yes.
I mean, he scored the bucket that tied the game and sent it into OT. In OT, they scored 11 points. He scored 9 and assisted on the other two. And he hit the buzzer beater.
Well, he had the Jimmy Butler. He had the block on Jimmy Butler's shot first.
Oh, and he had the block. Absolutely. He had the block on Jimmy Butler that saved the game. So he showed them in that game, look, I can still do this, but you've got to get me players. And they went out and they got him players. So, yeah, I like what Cleveland did. I think Cleveland's more interesting. And I think Boston's still good. I think the East is interesting now. And I think the West is very interesting, much more interesting than the Warriors wanted it to be. Houston is very good. And Oklahoma City, while they certainly have struggled, if they get in a series with the Warriors, they could cause them a lot of trouble because they're long and they're athletic. And their strengths are Warriors' weaknesses. That would not be an easy series. The Warriors would do well even if they had to lose a couple of games to avoid playing the Thunder in the second round. I would probably advise them to do it because that doesn't look like a good matchup to me at all. I'd rather see him play Houston.
All right, to the north. I got to get a question in here. We got a couple minutes left with
go
John.
For it.
Sorry, Jimmy B.
Go for it.
I got to get your thoughts on my Timberwolves. They can't play a lick of defense. That shot that LeBron hit last night. Why are they guarding people 70 feet away? Give up the 70-footer. And maybe throw an extra guy on LeBron, but that aside, can this Timberwolves
or
team?
Two.
Yes. Can they win a series, or is it still too early? We know the progression of NBA teams. There's usually kind of a path that you have to take, and step one is just getting there.
No, I think they can win a series because you know they've had success even the last couple of years. They've won a lot of games. They haven't made the playoffs, but they've had runs and won games and look like, you know, they certainly have talented young players. So I think they could win a series this year. And they're still in that, you know, 3-4 or 4-5 situation where they could wind up getting a home series. So, yeah, I think they're on target. That was a game that LeBron just decided that he wasn't going to lose. And when he does that, it's tough to prove him wrong.
John, it's always good, pal, when we catch up with you. We're going to have you on because the NBA is going to become a lot more interesting here as it starts to wind down to the playoffs. Thank you, pal.
Well, you got it. And as Trent and I were talking a little bit off air before, I think people in Ames will want to get that Dallas Mavericks package on the NBA TV now with Barnes and McDermott both. That I think those guys are really going to enjoy playing together.
Crazy to think a couple guys playing in the CIML now playing together in the NBA.
Yes.
A lot of people would have put money on Harrison Barnes, not so much on Doug McDermott, and here we are. Thanks for your time today, John.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
John Cannon Bye-bye. And Movement Mortgage as well. If you're looking for a new home or maybe a first-time home buyer, John does a great job, really can help you out as well. And talking NBA with us too, Jimmy B.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to go to Cleveland because that is where Big Ten Conference insider Ken Silverstein resides. Trent, if he hasn't been blown into bits, his head is probably still on a swivel, and it'll be entertaining to see what he has to say about everything that went on today.
Yeah, get his perspective on things. We'll also talk some Big Ten with him here as we wrap things up with Ken Silverstein in the next segment. And then tonight, Carolina-Duke, getting ready for that one, Jimmy B., and 7 o'clock tip, then UCLA, Arizona after that. Pretty nice night of basketball, NBA aside. I know you'll be locked and loaded with that, but we'll get into that coming up on the other side. Ken Silverstein will join us here on Jimmy B and TC, presented in part by New Leaf Wellness. 650-1358. Feel better today.
Now, listen to 1700 KBGG on Alexa. Say, Alexa, enable the 1700 KBGG skill. Then to play us, say, Alexa, play 1700 KBGG. Simple enough.
Hey, honey, going to the chicken coop to watch the game.
Whoa, football season is over. What game?
The basketball, soccer, hockey game, race.
Oh, big fan of those sports now, are we?
Yeah, always. You know me.
You're really just going for the wings and beer, aren't you?
Pretty much. Bye.
Yeah, buddy. The chicken coop knows what's up. The games are great, but the real MVPs are the flame-broiled wings and beer at your favorite sports bar. The Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. West Des Moines and Urbandale.
Hey guys, this is Nate Adams. You want to know where to go for the best Valentine's Day gifts this year? Go to Christopher's Fine Jewelry. It's a tradition for the men in the Adams family to visit Christopher's because we trust their friendly, down-to-earth staff. No big sales pressure. They're happy to answer your questions and take the stress out of Valentine's Day shopping. Stop by Christopher's today at 3427 Merle Hay Road. And tell them the Adams family sent you.
Sponsored by La Quinta Inn and Suites. How do you win on the road? Stay at La Quinta Inn and Suites. Enjoy stylish lobbies and exciting room renovations. Book now at LQ.com.
If your basement leaks or floods, or if you have mold, mildew, or a musty smell, call Midwest Basement Systems today to request a free basement waterproofing estimate. As Iowa's premier basement waterproofing and foundation repair contractor, Midwest Basement Systems will send one of their certified basement waterproofing specialists to visit your home and conduct a thorough inspection of your basement's foundation.
289-1606. Midwest Basement Systems got the fix. Call 289-1606.
And welcome back, everybody. We continue till the top of the hour at 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker 1700. We always have Ken Silverstein on the show, Big Ten Conference Insider, and we will get into a lot of Big Ten stuff, particularly Ohio's upset over Purdue last night in a terrific game. But, Ken, we're just glad that you picked up the phone, knowing that you reside in the wonderful city of Cleveland, and it appears now that the Cleveland Cavaliers, with the exception of just a couple of players, have a whole new team. How does this happen?
Well, it's funny. I was at the game last night working, and we're sitting around, as I've been known to do, the press room table having dinner. And I was sitting with a local individual who does local TV here, and I've known him a long time, and I respect his opinion. I think he respects mine. And we're sitting there, and he looks me in the eye, and he says, "Do they have the guts to blow this thing up?" And I go, "Are you asking me would I do it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, I think I have the guts. I'd blow it up." And we kind of left it at that, but neither one of us, as we walked away to do what we were going to do in the game last night, or during the game last night, thought they might, but, you know, talk is cheap, and, you know, so you pull the trigger more than once, which is obviously what they've done. We didn't think we were going to do it, but this morning at about 10:30 local time, I got a call from a guy who works with the organization, and he said to me, "Keep your head above water. I think the dominoes are going to be clicking." And he wasn't talking pizza, boys. So I knew when the first deal went down with the Lakers, they were going to totally blow it up, and that's what they've done. And obviously we'll get into it here during this discussion about what they did, why they did it. Did it work? Will it work? So forth and so on.
So, well, let's get into the moves here. And starting with, I guess in terms of name quality, the bigger of them, but sending Dwayne Wade, D. Wade, going back home. Your thoughts on that? King James, LeBron, at least on Instagram, seemed happy with it.
Well, they went to LeBron. This was a quote from someone I talked to today that they didn't have him in the inner circle on the other deals. But on this one, they did. They asked him what he thought, and because him and Wade are like brothers. And I guess he said it was okay. And I know Wade would be happy to end his career on South Beach after all the great years in Miami. So basically it's for a second-round pick that they ended up peddling in one of the other deals. So basically they're giving him a bunch of parting gifts. They're thanking him for roughly 50 games, even though he didn't play all 50 games. And he'll finish his career this year. I doubt he'll play again after this season. It's a nice move. The fans in South Beach will be happy. You know, he shows glimpses now and then of the player he once was, but at 35, 36, a lot of tread on the tires or off the tires. Of the moves the Cavaliers made today, this, even though he is the biggest name, is the one that really doesn't factor from the Cleveland perspective. It'll give more minutes to younger players than others. And for Miami, it's a nice PR move. It's a nice hug kind of story. You know, it makes you feel good that he's going to end his career where it all started.
Mm-hmm. Ken Silverstein is our guest. He is based out of Cleveland. He covers the Cleveland Cavaliers on an every game basis. Let's just kind of go with what they did here. By the first dominoes, the deal that they did with the Lakers, they got rid of Isaiah Thomas in that deal, and they bring in Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. Larry Nance's junior father, played for the Cleveland Cavaliers for a while. Those are two quality players that will really change the dynamic of the Cavs lineup, Ken.
Well, and they're both roughly 25 years old. One of the reasons for all these deals, and one of the things we've been talking about around here, including last night's chit-chat at dinner, is that they had literally three doors to walk through. Door one was the go-forward, basically a DeAndre Jordan type of deal, and roll the dice that way. Go out and get a big name and see if that would get him over the top. And number two, would that appease, in this case, LBJ, LeBron James? Door number one. Door number two was basically do nothing. Basically say, you know what, we believe in what we have. It's going to work out. That's a fig Newton of their imagination, but that would have been door number two. Door number three was the trickiest one, and that's what they picked. Was basically, if you're standing on a curb, you got one leg on the curb and you're straddling, making sure, hoping your balance so you don't fall in the street or do a header and bleed all over the place. That's what they picked. They picked door three, hoping to improve this year, at the same time help them next year and down the road. I like Clarkson. I think he's an instant offense guy. I like his numbers per minute. Not a bad defensive player. He's got size. He's an instant offense type of player, and that's not a bad thing to have, particularly if he gets hot, particularly in a short playoff series. So I like that part. The Nance Jr. move, his family lives about 15 minutes from where I'm calling you or where I'm talking to you from. Larry has his number retired here, had a really good career with the Phoenix Suns. I would say pretty equal career numerically here in Cleveland. His kid, Larry's younger brother, is going to be a freshman next year at Northwestern playing basketball. So this is a basketball family, from the dad being an NBA player to his older son being an NBA player to his younger son now going to be playing for Coach Collins in Evanston, and we'll see what he does with his collegiate career. So they give up Isaiah Thomas, who's running on fumes, okay? He's not the player he was. I'm not sure he's ever going to recover from the hip injury. And he's got an expiring contract. And so that was a good move. Plus, he just wasn't fitting in, okay? Well documented. I think it's a better trade. ESPN's got it at a decent grade. I saw CBS did not have it at a good grade. I disagree with the guy with CBS. I think it's a little better deal for the Cavs than he's giving it, but it's a trade to get two guys who are 25 years old and giving up a couple pieces that basically at this stage of the career don't have a lot left. because of injury and otherwise. The number one pick, the first round pick, is not the Brooklyn pick they got in the Kyrie Irving trade, which Cleveland held on to. This pick is probably going to be somewhere from 18 to about 23 or 24. In the NBA, you can get a good player there, but you can also miss. So I'm not real concerned about that first round pick.
So the Cavs today, going from Boston, still felt like they were the favorite going into today. How different is it? How different is this team? And at the very least, do you put them back a rung up on Boston, or do you still think the Celtics are the favorite in the East?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, until you see these four new players, and it's going to be a mess because Kevin Love's out at least another 7 weeks with a hand injury, so this is still going to be a strange situation. I can imagine what it's going to look like tomorrow night in Atlanta because I don't know how many of these new players are even going to be there. So who knows what the roster is going to look like tomorrow. That happens usually with a trade. Players, I think the league rule in the NBA, I think it's still 48 hours. So some of these guys may not even be there. They don't have to be there within that window of opportunity. So I'd say right now, I'll go with Boston by a hair, but they didn't make a move that I thought they would make to help their bench. So I think Boston will hold on to the number one seed. I think Toronto will hold on to number two. The Cavaliers and others will fight for three, four, and possibly number five. I think Cleveland now will face Boston in the playoffs, whether it's Eastern Conference Finals or the semis. And I think the winner of that series will get to the finals and get beat by Golden State because nobody's going to beat Golden State, not only this year, but in the foreseeable future.
All right, Ken. Now let's go then to the Big Ten and what we witnessed last night. It appeared that Purdue was going to put Ohio State away. With about 5 minutes left, they were comfortably in front. And then all of a sudden, they tried to, like, run clock instead of playing their offense that they had been playing. And it came back to bite them. And Ohio State made a couple of big shots, closed the gap, and ends up winning the game. On the upset meter, where does that one fit in the Big Ten?
That's about an 8.5 to a 9. I mean, talent-wise, I mean, I don't know how he – I've been saying this for weeks. I don't know how they're doing this. They got one player, okay, who's going to play in the NBA, and he's a late first-round pick. This is not Michigan State here, who's got like three or four guys who are going to play in the NBA eventually. This is – it's just one of these years. Holtman deserves – Chris Holtman, the new coach, who, as I said a couple weeks ago, wasn't even their first choice. So Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, is a very lucky individual to find the right guy. Go, as I've said before, go to Butler. If you need a basketball coach, go to Butler.
No. We tried that in our state, and it was the worst coach in 100 years at Iowa.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I forgot all about that.
I had a lot of people last week hollering at us for not calling you out on that because Todd Licklider was a disaster.
And that's a very good point, so we'll put it this way. How about the other 49 states if they have a coach?
There you go.
They can see. Okay,
that's
because
good.
Brad Stevens
that's good.
Is arguably one of the best coaches in the NBA. Skip Prosser came out of there. Thad Matta came out of there. Many others have come out of there. Butler's had, you could call them outside of the one example, you could, maybe with the asterisk there, the cradle of coaches from college basketball to another job, or in this case, Brad Stevens, to the Boston Celtics. They went small last night, Ohio State. It was a gamble. It worked. Now, look. They don't see Purdue again in the regular season. They don't see this is Ohio State. They don't see Michigan State again in the regular season. Chances are they will see one or both in New York City at Madison Square Garden. They are not going to beat Purdue or Michigan State two times in a year. That's not going to happen, okay? So, yes, they are technically in first place. They have, what, I think five more games to go. This has been a pretty remarkable job. He's coach of the year in the Big Ten, and I don't know who's done a better job nationally. Coach Bennett's done a great job at Virginia. There's some other examples. I get it. But I can make a hell of an argument that he's got more talent in Charlottesville at Virginia than Chris Holtmann's got in Columbus right now. This is not Ohio State football here. Okay, we're not talking five stars and four stars. We're not talking about the number two recruiting class in all of college football again, 2 years in a row, just a shade under Georgia this year, a shade under Alabama. They don't have this kind of a talent. Okay, it's not even close. But somehow he's pulling strings. Look, they beat Michigan State on a Sunday afternoon when Izzo's kids didn't show up to play. Okay, that's Izzo's fault along with the players. And they got blown out. And that ain't going to happen again when they play most likely in the Garden coming up in a few weeks in the Big Ten tournament. Did Painter get out-coached last night? Yeah, maybe a hair. That's a tough place to play, and you got to give Ohio State kids credit because they don't have the same talent. But you know what? You get one game; it's not a best 3, 5, or 7. They're not as good as Purdue, and they're going to find out when they play Purdue again that Purdue's a better team. But last night was a big win, no doubt about it. One of the better games you're going to see, not only in the Big Ten. That's one of the better games you're going to see all year long in the regular season.
All right, so then that brings me what you just referenced, your love affair with Tom Izzo and Michigan State continuing. However, they escaped just barely Iowa City just a couple nights ago. Iowa gave them all kinds of fits, and it was a game that ended up with both teams scoring in the 90s. Neither one could play a lick of defense. What's the problem then with Michigan State if they can't even slow down an Iowa team, which has a dreadful record in Big Ten conference play?
Yeah, it's they've been in a funk since basically losing that game to Ohio State. And I don't know, and this one's hard to prove because everyone will deny it. And I get it because I would deny it. But the swirl around the fiasco Nasser and so forth, and the fiasco that it is and will be for a good amount of time because it's not going to be resolved by tomorrow, that is for sure, with the Attorney General of the state and others looking into it. I wonder if that is not affecting the basketball team, obviously the entire university. Look, you're on campus. You can't get away from it. People are always talking about it. It's in the media every day, particularly there because it's on campus and it's in the community. So, look, I'm not making excuses for Izzo, but it's a tough position to be in if you are part of the Michigan State, quote-unquote, family. So I don't know if that's a factor. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I think it might be a little bit, but putting that off to the side. Look, let's cut to the chase here. They have the best talent, top to bottom, in the conference. Okay. Now, does that mean they're the best team? No, because you got to play as a team, as a unit of five, and then your rotation guys, your bench guys. But you're right. I watched the game. They didn't play great. You can make an argument Iowa should have won. Game shouldn't have been in the 90s. Neither team played defense. Losing by as many as they did to Ohio State X amount of week ago in Columbus is inexcusable at this stage. It's one thing to lose 48-6 in football to Ohio State. It is inexcusable at Michigan State with the talent they have, okay, to lose. I don't care if you play them on the moon. You shouldn't lose to this Ohio State team, okay? This is not Oden and Conley and Sullinger and others who obviously went on to play in the NBA who were Ohio State Buckeyes. This is one guy and four basically journeyman players, okay? And so it's inexcusable to lose. You lose on a call. You lose on a lucky bounce. I get it. Lose by as many as they did to Ohio State. Play as close as they did against Rutgers. Play as close as they did against Iowa. There's something going on here. There's something going on. There's too much talent there, too much future NBA talent there wearing the green and white for this to be going on. So my love affair with Izzo is waning. Can you tell? Just a tad?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a bit outside, yes.
Last thing for me, Ken. So Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, they all feel secure. We've talked about Nebraska. They still have a lot of work to do, and even at 13-5, I don't know if their numbers are going to be good enough. But Northwestern suddenly lurking after that win against Michigan. They've won four out of their last five. We know a talented team hasn't started off very well. They go on the road for the next two at Maryland over the weekend and then at Rutgers. Three home games after that, and they finish up here in Iowa City against the Hawkeyes. The Wildcats got to run on them and at least get into bubble conversation, or is that a hill too high to climb for Northwestern this year?
They probably have to win out at this point. Can they do it? They're a veteran squad. They smelled it last year and got it done. So maybe they have an extra kick or two if you think about thoroughbred racing and have enough to get to the wire and squeeze on in. Penn State is there also at 7-6. Right now you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4. I think you're looking at 5. I got Michigan, Nebraska, and then the other three, Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue. Penn State, Northwestern, the only two that have a shot to make it 6. Indiana's not going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. So I think we'll know more in a week or two, obviously, because we'll start squeezing the calendar even more. I would say if you said to me which one of the two, Northwestern and Penn State, not having really thought about the schedules particularly between both squads, what they have between now and the end of the regular season, obviously, Penn State's got a little bit of an advantage, having one more conference win at 7-6 at this point. But I'm going to go with Northwestern. And it's not my love affair with Pat Fitzgerald in football there. I think because they did it last year, and they have a veteran squad. Look, Penn State's got motivation. It's a football school. Everyone knows that. Never really been a basketball power and so forth. Play second fiddle on campus by a wide margin. To the football program. So they have motivation also. But if I'm only going to pick one, and both are not going to make it, obviously, I'm going to go with Northwestern, thinking that the veteran squad, you know, was whatever they were doing early in the year wasn't working. And hopefully they are on a roll right now, and they can squeeze a couple more W's out so that the final game or two really, really is important for the Wildcats.
Before we let you go, where are you on the tournament being played in New York City and being played a week earlier, Ken?
I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, this is a Jim Delaney special. Man, oh, man, if there's a way to squeeze more green, my man, the commish, can figure it out. There's no doubt. He is, seriously, he must wake up when that alarm goes off every morning in the Hacienda, better known as the Delaney family. When he gets up every morning and brushes his teeth, he looks in the mirror and thinks, how much more money can I make today? Seriously. I mean, nothing else crosses his mind, seriously. I don't like it. I don't like the scheduling of it. I don't like it that we're forcing everything eastward. You know, last year in D.C., I wonder why we did it last year in D.C. Oh, to appease Maryland, to throw Maryland a bone. Why are we throwing it in New York City? Well, Rutgers is about 45 minutes south down the freeway. Okay, they'll make the arguments the number one market in the country. All right, I can't dispute that, but they're doing it for Rutgers. They're not doing it for Iowa. They're not doing it for Indiana or anybody else. They're doing it for Rutgers. And I don't mind throwing a bone once in a blue moon, but you got to give me a reason where it makes a lot of sense. And this is too obvious why they're doing it. They think of it as a cash cow. Here's the other thing. I don't know if I'm Joe Sports fan in New York City or Northern New Jersey or out on the island, Long Island, Staten Island, whatever, the metro area. I don't know how big a Rutgers fan I am. And even if I am, they're horrific. So why am I going to go? Why am I going to attend this thing? Where if you hold it somewhere else, the passion runs a lot hotter. You most likely have a fan base more interested because their school hopefully has done well this current go-around. So I'm not a big fan. I don't know about you guys. I think it's blatantly obvious why they're doing it. I'm just not a big fan of it. I don't think the attendance is going to be that good. I really don't. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think they're going to draw like they think they are.
Ken Silverstein joining us. Ken, as always, thanks for your time. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Big day in Cleveland. Ken gives us some time here today. Appreciate that. Jimmy B, we'll take a quick time. I'll come back. Put a cap in things on the other side here on the Big Talker 1700. And we're back one final time, Jimmy B and TC. Mr. Brinson, you know, Valentine's Day, we're less than a week today. Do you got something nice for all your honeys running around town?
No. Not a big day for me. No.
Well, I will tell you, for the ladies in the nursing home, I do have a place. Christopher's.
Oh, well, tip me off. Okay, yeah, I'm good with that.
Christopher's Fine Jewelry. It's over on Merle Hay Road. Stop on out there. Say hello to the great group, and they can help you out. Find something special for that special lady or special ladies if you're Jim Brinson in your life.
At the home.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right, Jimmy B, coming up tonight, what's on tap for you on a Thursday?
Well, you know, I'm going to lock in on Duke and North Carolina just because of the rivalry aspect. You know, I'm going to watch that in college. And there's a couple of late night games, West Coast games. UCLA's playing Arizona. Mm-hmm. I'll probably watch some of that, which isn't bad. Arizona State's in action, too. So I'll probably against USC. So I'll probably check that out a little bit. But college-wise, I suppose, I don't know, Trent. Am I going to look in on Maryland and Michigan State?
I mean, it was a close game. Maryland blew a big lead. What was that, a week and a half ago when they played? But, yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Georgia Tech,
Never mind. Never mind that. I looked at the wrong thing there. That's women's. Nobody cares.
Okay.
I looked at the wrong date. That would be me. Because didn't Maryland play last night?
Yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's what. What? That can't be right. Oh, it's the women's thing. I hate it when they do that, when they list games and then they don't put the W by it. Okay. Nobody cares.
Duke, Carolina. So anyway. Tonight, who you got?
Yeah. I'm going to take Duke in this game.
Going with the Dukies. You get a point and a half.
Yeah. 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 I think Bagley and I think Grayson Allen is going to have a breakout game. I really do. He's great in this kind of environment. It doesn't bother him. And so I just think that, look, it's a great rivalry and has been before there was dirt on the ground. So you kind of have to always poke your head in it to kind of watch that game.
Olympics, of course, the opening ceremonies are tomorrow, but what is there? Is there curling going on or something tonight?
Curling, man. Yeah, I love curling. Curling's awesome. You know, heck, you can go to the Down Under bar. Yeah, I mean, they are the official curling bar in Des Moines.
Self-proclaimed.
They are.
Self-proclaimed.
Yes, they are. Yeah, Andy and all the guys. Yeah, they'll tell you that if curling's on, they've got it on.
That's awesome. So good. Well, Jimmy B, enjoy your night. We'll be back tomorrow. It's it's not a Football Friday. We can't even lie to the people.
No.
Football Fridays are done until we get into August and we can pretend that they're coming with preseason football. Here we are, Jimmy B. It'll be a big show of basketball and a whole lot more tomorrow. Enjoy your night. We'll talk again tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.